Okay, so why do you think...
Why do you think people don't pray at home? Pray more at home.
Christians, families, why don't they pray together?
So why do you think people don't pray more at home?
Man, I invite you to open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 21. It's going to be on page 826 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. Matthew 21 is where we're going to start here in just a few minutes, and I'm so excited about this opportunity to preach today and to get into this new sermon series that we're calling Prayer at Home. I really do believe that God's going to use this sermon series to help us take our next steps in growing strong families. I'm really, really thankful for our church partnership that we have with Lake Point Church. And just the opportunity that church has given us through their Home Point ministry that allows churches to work together and to train up and to equip and to resource families to become all that God desires for His people to become. And I'm really indebted to their pastor, Pastor Steve Stroop, just an incredible communicator, an incredible leader. He preached a message that so impacted me, it so excited me about leading our families to become more and more intentional when it comes to prayer at home. I really just thought, golly, he said some incredible stuff. I've got to share some of these things. And so I want to share some of the things that I wrote down that he shared that really impacted me because they were just so clear to me. And they fired me up and they just went, yeah, man, that's the stuff that I want to be about. I want to be that kind of a man. I want to be that kind of a father, a husband that's leading my family in the ways that he was talking about. And as we think about growing strong families, we need to remember something. We need to remember that God created the very first family. We read about that over in Genesis, the very first pages in the Bible. And he put this family in this perfect environment called the Garden of The Garden of Eden. You've read that part of the Bible. You've heard that story maybe. If you hadn't, it's an incredible, incredible story. I encourage you to read it. They started off, this family starts off in the Garden of Eden. And so this very first family is experiencing what I just like to call the garden life. Say garden life. The garden life. Man, it's a great life, the perfect life, the life God always intended for strong families to grow in and be in, the garden life, and they experienced what all of us desire to experience, and that's authentic relationships. We all desire authentic relationships where you're fully known and yet you're still fully loved. That's authentic if you can be fully known and still fully loved at the same time. And they experienced this in the Garden of Eden as they're experiencing the garden life. They experienced not only physical intimacy, but emotional intimacy and spiritual intimacy. And on top of all that, the Bible says in the first chapters of Genesis that they got to walk together with God in the garden every day. That is the garden life. That is a great, great life. And then you get to Genesis chapter 3, and this thing called sin enters the picture, and the fall happens. Some have called it the great thud of Eden, because when sin entered the picture, and man, sin distorted the relationships that family had between each other and between themselves and God, they fell. A thud in Eden. And so ever since that happened, that sin entered the picture, ever since that time, we've been trying as families to recapture what was lost in the garden. To have a relationship with our family members that's authentic. And to know that family is a safe place where we're known fully and we're fully loved. And also to be a part of a team that's doing something together with God. With our Creator, God. And I really do believe that a large, large part of this path of getting back to the garden life that God wants you and me, wants our families to be a part of is through prayer at home. That's what I really believe God is going. Lead them down this path of praying at home, and it will begin to move them back toward the garden life. If you were with us last spring, I invited the whole church for about 3 weeks, right after Easter, to take these little surveys. We were in a series called Faith. It starts where at? Faith, it starts at home. How many, raise your hand if you took that one of those little surveys. Remember, we did it like 3 weeks in a row. Many of you, did that. We took a whole bunch of surveys. It was a really interesting survey that we received back and just said, hey, help us understand how you as a family are doing in some areas. How are things going in your family as far as faith and nurturing your faith and growing in your faith? What kinds of things are you doing? What are you doing well? What are you not doing so well? And so there were all kinds of questions, and you were great to fill those out. And we'll take another test, that same little survey, in the spring. But man, we just collated that data and looked at it, and I think Kendrick Baker, who just has a data-driven mind, just really looked at it all. He and his wife Dawn did, and they said, "Here's what we see out of that." And we're like, "Yeah, we do see that." Did you know that based on those surveys that you filled out, that 25% of couples in our church say that they pray together at least twice a week? 25%. And 49% of parents in our church say that they pray with their kids at least 5 times per week. Now just think about it for a minute. Fast forward to the spring a little bit. What might our marriages look like? What might our families look like in the spring when we take that little survey again, if we begin to increase the number of couples who pray together regularly, and we begin to increase the number of parents who are praying regularly with their kids? What if today, this day, this September morning, what if today you and I made a commitment to begin again in this area of growing strong families through prayer at home? What if we committed today just to be a church that's filled with families who are praying together at home, who are engaging in prayer at home? Before you leave today, I'm going to ask you and ask me to make a fresh commitment to be a family who is engaging in prayer at home. I'm going to ask you to be a 7-5-2 family. And you're going, what in the world is a 7-5-2 family? At the end of your row, there should be a little card like this that says prayer at home. Would you grab it and pass it down? You really just need one per family. And I encourage the person, mom, who has the greatest handwriting, mom, who really has legible handwriting and great penmanship, mom, okay? Would you be the penmanship person in your family, okay? And you don't have to fill anything out right now. If you know, hey, I want to do this, anything that's going to help me pray more with my family, I'm in. But I'm going to ask you before we finish today to fill this out. Put all the names of your family on there. Put the best email address for your home. We're constantly trying to communicate with the church family. And so many times when we send things out, we get things that come out as invalid email. And just your best phone number. We may not call you at all, but we'd love to have just that updated information. And go, what in the world is a 7-5-2 family? Because at the end of the service, I'm going to invite you to make that commitment by bringing that card and laying it on the altar and picking something up here in just a few minutes. And what our staff is going to do, we're going to take these cards, and over the next 40 days, we're going to pray for your family. That's a deal right there, man. To know that your family's being prayed for every day for 40 days. I want to invite you to be a part of being a 7-5-2 family and taking the 7-5-2 challenge. You go, what am I committing to if I take the 7-5-2 challenge? Well, the first thing is you're committing to pray for your family 7 times a week. Friends, anybody can do this, okay? Anybody can pray for your family. And I realize in a room like this and in our church, we've got all kinds of family dynamics. We've got single moms. We've got single dads. We've got singles with no kids. We've got empty nesters and grandparents. You name it, we got it when it comes to family dynamics. But regardless of what your family landscape looks like today. You can pray for your family 7 days a week. You, as an individual, whether you're 5 or 25 or 55, you can pray each day for your family. Because see, when you go, yeah, you know, I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to put my little card on the altar later on, and then I'm going to get one of these little cool bracelets. See, we've got adult-sized bracelets, we've got youth and medium-sized bracelets, and we've got kid-sized bracelets. There's nothing worse than getting a big old adult-sized bracelet on your little kid arm, and it looks like, you know, a little tinker toy thing, and it's just like falling straight off, and so we've got some little ones for you, okay? And when you get one of these bracelets, it says 752 challenge on. The other side, it says prayer at home. And so every day, when you look at that bracelet, you can go, you know what, I need to pray for my family today. And so, whether you're a little kid and you've got your bracelet on, you can pray for your family. Kids, draw me a picture. No, and as a matter of fact, draw yourself a picture of all of the people in your family that if you take the 752 challenge, you want to pray for every day. Is it your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your brother, your sister, your dog? Put your pet on there. Put my dog on there. He needs serious prayer. His name's Grizzly. If you just pray for him, you'd be so much further along in your relationship with God, you wouldn't even believe it. But who do you want to pray for every day? And then take your picture and put it in your room, and every single day, pray for every one of those people and your pets. It's on that picture. You can pray every day, 7 days a week, for your family. Second part of the 752 challenge is to make a commitment not only to pray for your family 7 times a week, but to pray with your family 5 times a week. Now this one is a little bit more difficult, praying with your family 5 times during the week. That means you've got to coordinate some things. You've got to schedule some times when you're all going to be together, when you're all going to pray. And you can do it if you'll put your mind to it, if you'll prioritize it over the next 40 days. You can do this. Even if you're going, man, but I've got a business trip. That's okay. We've got incredible things now called cell phones. You can call in. You can FaceTime in. You can Skype in. You can text your prayers in to be read and prayed at a certain time. You can email your prayers in. You can write your prayers down, whatever, but a specific time. Here's the really good news about the 5 times, praying 5 times with your family during the week. We're going to let dinner time count, okay? Meal times count. So if you're all around the table and you pray, that counts as one. Now some of you are going, man, it'd be a next level for us as a family if we could just eat together. That'd be a great move in the right direction. But if you're eating together and you're praying together, hey, you're kind of piggybacking and eating and praying together, that's great. That's great. That counts. Bedtime prayers, that counts. You know, if it's the first one to go to bed, you all kind of gather around and pray. Usually it's the youngest, or maybe it's the tiredest parent. Okay, maybe let your kids tuck you in. But praying together, bedtime counts. And then the last part of the 752 challenge, if this applies to you, is not only pray for your family 7 times a week, praying with your family 5 times a week, but pray with your spouse 2 times a week. Just the two of you, after sharing with your spouse 2 times a week. And I really believe that some things will begin to change if you do this. And here's why I believe that. Because when a Christian prays, things change. Would you just say that with me? Let's take an out loud note together. When a Christian prays, things change. Why do I believe that? Why did we take that out loud note together? Because Jesus said that's true. You go, really? Where did he say that? He said it in Matthew 21, verse 22. Look what Jesus says about prayer changing things. Matthew 21, verse 22, Jesus says these words, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." That's a radical verse, is it not? Say yes. Yes. That's a radical verse. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Now what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 21, verse 22, he's saying, hey, there's not anything that is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, what Jesus is not saying is if we say a few words in the right order, we can just kind of boss God around. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying you can boss God around in prayer. So let me talk about this with you for a few minutes here. There's three parameters, at least three different parameters that Matthew 21, 22 falls into. And here's the first one that we need to look at. The first one's this. If we're going to claim that promise in Matthew 21, 22 from Jesus, we have to be in a right relationship with Jesus. That first parameter is right relationship. You might want to jot that down. Right relationship. We got to be in a right relationship with Jesus as we're praying. Look what Jesus says over in John chapter 15, verse 7. You might just want to jot that down. John 15, verse 7. Look what Jesus says, and look at the relationship he's talking about here. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So, what's the parameter here? That first parameter for having that kind of power in our lives and in our prayers is that, number one, we have the right relationship. The right relationship. What does that look like? We're abiding in Christ and his word is abiding in us. What that means is this. If you're not yet a Christian, then you have no guarantee that God is going to answer your prayer. Now, that's not to say that God does not answer prayers from non-Christians, but think about it with me for a minute. Why would God help you live your life separated from him? You ever thought about that? If you're a non-Christian and you're praying to God, why would he help you if you're separated from him? And sometimes God does. He does sometimes answer prayers of non-Christians. But those who are Christians, those who are his children, those who have put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, asking Jesus to forgive them of their sin and to make them a new creation, to become a child of the King, those have a guarantee that our Heavenly Father will answer our prayers. But we got to first be in this right relationship with him. And we not only have to be abiding in him and have his words abiding in us. That's really where the power comes from. But there's a second parameter in having this kind of power in our prayer. And that's this, that we make the right request. You might want to jot that down. That's the second parameter in our prayers, is having the right request or making the right request. You might want to jot this scripture down. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 talks about making the right request in our prayers. Look what it says. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, toward God, that if we ask anything, how? Say those words with me right there. According to his will, then what happens? He hears us. He hears us. The right request in our prayer is that our prayers are in accordance to his will. And right now, some of you are thinking, that right there tells me why I don't get a lot of answers in my prayers. I don't know what God's will for my life is. Anybody ever ask that question? God, what do you want me to do? What is your will for my life? Can you just raise your hand? Anybody? I'll raise both of mine. Touchdown. Yes, you are splitting the uprights right there. Yeah, I've asked that question before. God, what's your will for my life? Some of you are going, I don't know what God's will for my life is. I don't even know where to begin with. Well, let's take a step back for a second. Maybe you don't know all of God's will for your life. I don't know all of God's will for my life right now. But if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I were, you and I probably know some of God's will, right? Say yes. Let me show you what I mean. What if we just began with praying God's will, praying according to God's will, making the right request according to God's will on something that we already know is God's will? You go, what are you talking about? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe it's God's will for your life that this week you don't give in to temptation, yes or no? Yeah, sure. That's God's will for your life. That when you're tempted this week, you not give in, cave in, crash in, and give in to temptation. That's part of God's will. So what if you begin praying about that this week in accordance to God's will? What if before your feet hit the floor every day this week, you whispered a prayer, God, would you help me with the temptations that are going to come my way today? Chances are you probably already know where they're coming from, right? You probably already know where the enemy's going to try to trip you up, because it's the same place he tried to trip you up last week and the week before. It's that same thing you've been asking forgiveness for and feeling guilty for the last year. As long as you keep tripping up there, guess what's going to keep being put in your path? Temptation. What if you just started by going, God, I know it's your will that I not cave into temptation there. Would you help me just to recognize it? Would you give me the power in that moment to have a victory right then, to know and see it and then choose not to do it, choose not to engage in whatever that is. God, when I'm tempted, what if you started your week, your morning like this, before you even got out of bed? God, when I'm tempted to gossip, help me hold my tongue. God, when I'm tempted to exaggerate the truth and call attention to myself, help me instead to be humble and not do that. God, when I'm tempted to lust or to be greedy or for my eyes to go to my neighbor's paper and copy off of them and cheat, God, help me in that moment to realize that's a temptation and not to do those things. Instead, to do what you want me to do. God, would you help me? See, you and I both know it's never God's will that we engage in sin, right? Say right. Right, that's never God's will. And so what if we began praying about that each day this week? Can I just show you what Jesus says about that very thing to his disciples in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41? You might want to jot that down. Matthew 26, 41. He talks about temptation and he talks about prayer. Look what Jesus says to his disciples. Hey, watch and pray that you may not enter into what? Temptation. That's God's will. The Spirit indeed is willing, but man, the flesh is weak. Jesus tells his disciples two things about temptation. First, he says, watch, watch, watch. Watch what? Watch and just be aware and keenly alert that the fact that Satan is alive, he is alive and well. He is seeking to destroy you. He's seeking to destroy your family and your relationships and your business. Just be aware that's his goal every single day, is to mess your life up royally. If he can do that, that's a win for him. Now, he's not going to ultimately win, but on that day, that's a good day for him if he can trip you up. And so Jesus says, so watch out. Watch out against that. Guard against that. And then the second thing Jesus says is this, and pray. Pray. Keep an open relationship with me. Jesus is saying this, if you'll keep an open relationship with me, then it's going to be real difficult for you to sin against me. See, it's very difficult to pray and sin at the same time. That's a toughie. To pray and sin at the same time. And Jesus is going, man, just abide in me. Walk with me. Talk with me. Pray with me. See, we got to be in a right relationship with God. We got to make the right request in our prayer according to his will. And then the third parameter that we need to have when we're praying is that we need to pray for the right reason. Say, right reason. Oh, say it like you mean it. Right reason. There you go. There you go. Look at what James says in James chapter 4, verse 3. He's going to show us what is not the right reason. James says this: you ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask how? Wrongly. What's wrongly? To spend it on your own passions. He's saying, man, that's not the right reason to pray. To spend it on you. It's not all about you when you pray. So what are the right reasons when you pray? You're kind of sitting there going, huh, man, that's a good question, you know. When I pray, it's usually, God, would you do this for me? Let me give you an example. Praying for the right reason. Did you know that there are 16 weeks left until Christmas? Hallelujah. 16, I mean, just looking at Will Ferrell up there just kind of makes you happy. That was worth coming to church for, just to get that picture in your mind, just going, yeah, 16 weeks. I was flipping around the other day and Elf was actually on. And you know what's sick? I stopped to watch it. It's 98 degrees outside and I'm watching it. Santa! Such a great movie. I hope that's a matinee flick in heaven. Just one time. Just to laugh. You know, what does that have to do with praying for the right reason? Well, if I asked some of you right now, make me a list of everything you want for Christmas. You could. Here you go. It's there. It's laminated. I'm ready to pass it out like business cards at a convention, man. Here we go. Here's what I want for Christmas. You could produce that stuff in a matter of moments. And when we think about engaging in prayer at home, certainly God wants us to pray to Him about our needs. Not so much our list of wants, but our needs. He wants us to bring before Him, the right request is to bring before Him the needs of others. And many of you share those needs with me, and I join you in praying for the needs of your family and your friends and your coworkers. And it's a privilege to do that. And He wants us to be praying about His kingdom being extended. And I just believe that many of us do not experience the full power of prayer, because so oftentimes our prayers get no further than our own selves. And we miss out on those right reasons, because many times our prayers are focused and centered on us. It's like this prayer Christmas list about ourselves that we give to God. And it's okay to pray for yourself and pray about things in your life. But if that's where it ends, we're missing out on the big picture of prayer. You know, Jesus taught us how to pray. And he says and prays, "Thy will be done, not my will be done." Man, Jesus, I love Jesus. Raise your hand if you love Jesus. Everybody should get 100 on that pop quiz. Come on now. There you go. Jesus was anything but self-centered, right? Yeah. He was other-centered and God-focused, Father-focused. And our prayers will be too when we begin to pray for the right reasons, the same reasons that Jesus prayed. And if we begin to operate within those three parameters of prayer, from a right relationship with the right request and for the right reason, what we will find is that when a Christian prays, things change. Would you just say that out loud with me again? When a Christian prays, things change. It's good. Let's take it up a notch. Let's take it up a notch for a minute, because Jesus says something else about prayer. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, you might want to jot that down. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Here's what He's going to say. He's going to say, when Christians pray together, everything changes. Would you just say that with me with a little bit of oomph behind it? When Christians pray together, everything changes. You go, really? What do you mean? Well, let's just look at what Jesus says about praying together. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, it's on the screen here. Jesus says, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they ask, it will be done for them by who? My Father in heaven." He says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." I mean, it's great. When I pray, things change. Or when my wife Allison prays, things change. But man, when Christians pray together, everything changes. Everything changes. What are you talking about? I'm talking about it can be a brand new kind of intensity with power when I'm not just praying by myself, but I'm praying with Allison, or I'm praying with my accountability partner, Chris, or I'm praying with our staff, or with my family, or with your family. Man, I'm telling you, when Christians pray together, when families pray together, when spouses pray together, there is a spiritual chemistry that takes place that is powerful. I mean, think about this with me for a minute. Don't you think Jesus probably meant what he said in Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20? Yes or no? Yeah. He's talking about a spiritual chemistry that takes place when we pray together as opposed to just praying alone. I mean, if he didn't mean it, I don't think he ever would have said it. But he did say it. And if he said it, I think he meant it. Praying together changes everything. Prayer at home changes everything. Becoming a 752 family who prays together at home can change everything. Why? Because there is a spiritual chemistry taking place that you and I are invited by Jesus to engage in, even if we can't see it with our own eyes. You know what chemistry is. I've said that a few times. Spiritual chemistry. You know what chemistry is, right? It's when multiple elements with different properties come together and they cause a reaction. Let me just give you an example to help you remember spiritual chemistry. Does anybody know what this is? That's Diet Coke. Some of you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Anybody know what these are? Mentos. Has anybody ever seen what happens when you put Diet Coke? Has anybody not seen? Raise your hand if you've not seen. You've never seen what happens when you put Mentos in Diet Coke, Christian? I'm glad you're a Christian. I'm glad I've baptized you. This may not end well for you. You have a change of clothes? No. You know what? I'm going to extend grace to you today. Watch this. This is what happens.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That is, you're welcome. You are welcome. See, when you pray with somebody else, and your heart and that other person's heart begins to connect, and those words from your mouth and the words from their mouth begin to connect and join together in prayer. Man, Jesus said, "I'm in your midst. My spirit is at work in your midst, in your prayers." Spiritual chemistry takes place when you pray together, and it can just cause a reaction. Boom! That you just have no idea may face to take place. I want you to remember something as you're beginning to think about becoming a 752 family. You might just want to jot these three little phrases down. Because when Christians pray together, There's at least three dynamics of change. Number one, our prayer life changes. Our prayer life changes. Second thing that's going to change is this. Our relationship with God changes. Our relationship with God changes. Third thing, if you become a 752 prayer person, is this. Our relationship with other people changes. Our relationship with other people changes. I mean, think about it. What's the church? The church is made up of people in community with God and with each other. Think about this. Do you think if our church, Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, began to be made up of more and more families who were praying together, do you think that this church would become more healthy or less healthy? More. We become more and more healthy. We become a healthy, praying church. That's who we will become. I mean, just think about it for a minute. If we all started praying 7 days a week for our families, and in addition to that, we started praying 5 days a week with our families, and in addition to that, if it applies to you, we started praying 2 times a week on a deeper and intimate level with our spouse, there's going to be people in this room that will begin to pray more than they've ever prayed in their whole life. And you know what? That's going to change some things. It's going to change your prayer life. It's going to change your relationship with God. And it's going to change your relationship with others. And you know what? If you engage in this and you're going, I'm going to do that, and then next week you only pray 6 days for your family instead of seven, or you only pray 3 days with your family instead of five, relax. Give yourself some grace. If you're praying 6 days for your family and 3 days with your family, you're still probably praying more than you're praying right now, right? Yeah, that's progress. You get an A. That's a good thing. Keep going. Get back in the game. Don't just sit and wallow on what you're not doing. Get engaged about what you are going to be doing. And there's never a greater time to do that than today. Don't wait till tomorrow. It's today, and it's going to change you. And as you're praying together, it's going to change your relationships and your relationship with God. See, you're praying to whom? You're praying to God. And more you pray, the more and more your prayer life is going to change. The more and more your relationship with God is going to change. And if you're praying with and for other people, that prayer is going to change your relationships with others. And I'm telling you, prayer is going to enrich your relationships with others in ways that you never dreamed until you do it. Why? Because what's taking place when you pray? Spiritual chemistry. Start throwing Mentos at you if you're asleep. Spiritual chemistry is taking place. And God's going to do some incredible things. That's what we keep talking about, being in community, being a people who are in community with God, with others. And when our relationships become enriched, and you know what we're going to be on? We're going to be on that right path. Back to that place that we talked about at the beginning. Back to that right relationship with God that he always intended for us to be in with him. Back to that garden, that pathway back to the garden life where we're growing strong families. Let me share one last thing with you. And then we'll wrap up, and I'll invite you to come get one of these bracelets and make the commitment. And it's this. Let me just talk quickly about accountability. Accountability. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. It says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. And then it says this, but woe to him who's alone when he falls and is not another to lift him up. I don't know about your life. I know about my life. I've got great intentions, but if I'm not accountable to anybody, I'm probably not going to do that. I'm probably not going to be what I really want to be or do what I really want to do. But man, if I open myself up and become accountable to somebody else, they're going to help hold my feet to the fire. Don't you want to grow in your prayer life? I do. So when you begin to pray together with others, you know what's happening? You're becoming accountable to others. That's why we have these little calendars, these little prayer at home calendars available. They're at the Welcome Center if you need to pick them up. Mom and Dad, if you're going to drop your kiddos off at their life group the next hour, they'll come home with these, okay? Little calendar like this. We've already got them over there. You go, what am I supposed to do with this? Just fill it out. It's blank. We've got them on our website. Actually, Jacob, they'll be on our website this afternoon, right? Everything I'm showing you right here will be on our website later this afternoon. You can just click on the prayer at home. All the resources will be there. You go, well, why am I doing this? Put it down low so everybody in the family can see it. And then when you pray for somebody, for your whole family that day, you can just write a little mark there. I prayed today. Maybe you want to put a little sticker on there that's the 7. Maybe when your family prays together 5 times, you got a different color and you put that there. Maybe when mom and dad are praying together, you're putting that there. And you know what? If you're inviting your kids to be a part of this, you know what they're going to do? They're going to hold you accountable. Don't you hate being held accountable by your own kids? Golly, now I've got to do this. Come on, let's be a family that prays together. But I'm telling you, if you do that, spiritual chemistry is going to happen. Spiritual chemistry is going to happen. Accountability is going to be there. And so let me just ask you, will you take the 752 challenge for the next 40 days? It's easy to say yes, but then you got to come up with a plan. You know, what do you mean, come up with a plan? Well, see, if you don't come up with a plan, you're probably not going to do it. You'll probably just kind of wear the bracelet and go, yeah, okay, yeah, come on up, Dan. Come on up, guys. Get ready. Maybe you need to set some guidelines as you're praying. No preaching while you're praying, okay? You can't like, dear God, help my wife to get her act together. Dear God, help my husband to lose weight. Can't do that, okay? You got to have some guidelines in there. Got to have some guidelines. No venting during prayer. Maybe you're going, I don't like to pray out loud. Write your prayers down. And let your spouse or your family members read it. Maybe you're just kind of sitting there going, I wish you wouldn't have said that, pray together 2 times a week. Because, like, we do a lot of things together, but we ain't never really done that. And that's kind of weird. Well, before you go to sleep, why don't you just reach over and just grab her hand, grab his hand. And you just say, well, we're going to pray together, but we're going to start off silent. And I'm going to go first, and when I finish praying, I'm going to squeeze your hand, and then you can pray, and then when you finish praying, you squeeze my hand, and then we'll say, amen. That counts. But the first time that you're going, boom! Just do something different. Let me invite you to do this. I saved this to the end. We've given you a little prayer guide. If you're on the end, would you just pass these down? Take these little prayer guides. Man, it's got all kinds of opportunities for you. Tips on how to pray. It's got some great resources. Pray Big for Your Marriage. It's a book by Will Davis Jr. Creative Family Prayer Times by Mike and Amy Napa. What Happens When I Talk to God by Stormy O'Martian. Just trying to resource you to be who God wants you to be. I just want to invite you as we leave here in a moment to be a part of the 752 challenge. In just a second, we'll stand. You can drop your little card if you want to on the altar. Mom, Dad, you can get an adult-sized bracelet. Kids, teenagers, you can get a small or medium-sized bracelet. Put it on. Wear it. People will ask you what this means. What a great opportunity to have a conversation about what God's doing in your life. Man, I'm praying 7 days a week for my family. My family's praying together 5 days a week. I'm praying with my spouse 2 days a week. What if you're divorced? I don't know what your situation is there. And maybe you're not going to pray with your former spouse. But what if you prayed for them? And what if you taught your own kids about grace and forgiveness? I don't know what it needs to look like for you, but I want to invite you to be a part of it. You can pick up calendars right out at the Welcome Center. You can drop your cards here on the altar. You can pick up bracelets. And instead of just running to lunch, if you haven't been to a life group yet, I invite you to be a part of a life group. We'll have a couple of hosts. I think Phil's going to be out here. I think we've got a couple other folks that will help escort you to a life group if you haven't been to a life group. Growth occurs in groups. And man, if you want to take those next steps and find out more about Arapahoe Road, be a part of that Connect class today. Be a part of that Connect class. It's just right across the way. Brian will be there to meet you. And I just invite you, do something different. Take the 752 challenge. Be a part of prayer at home. Would you stand with me? I want to give you a blessing and then invite you to move, and this will be how we conclude our time. Would you hold your hands out? God, would you do something powerful in the lives of these people over the next 40 days as they engage in the 752 challenge? I pray their bracelets that they wear on their arm would constantly remind them to be in right relationship with you and to pray. Pray, pray. And Lord, as we pray for them as a staff, may they feel your Holy Spirit. May they live in power. And may they walk beautifully before you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dan, would you lead us out of here? And as you begin to leave, you feel free to put your 752 card on the altar. Thanks, you're dismissed.